99.9 FM W260C in Beaver Scene and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A day of celebration turns to tragedy for Kansas City Chiefs fans.
People were, dropped down, ducking, crying, holding on to their kids. Some people lost their kids.
Police say a local radio DJ, mother of two, was killed and more than 20 people wounded, nine of them children, during a shooting at a Super Bowl victory parade. Some of the injuries are said to be life-threatening. KCTV's Neil Jones.
Gunfire. Screams as a horrifying reality set fans, including families, running for their lives.
We have multiple victims over here.
You can see first responders giving CPR and fans being loaded onto stretchers. 800 law enforcement officers were on site, many running toward the gunfire.
Police say they've detained three suspects. There are fears of a new threat to U.S. national security. CBS News has learned U.S. intelligence has warned Congress and overseas allies about a Russian effort to develop a nuclear-capable weapon in space that could potentially knock out U.S. satellites. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe.
House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner of Ohio first revealed the existence of a threat and called on President Biden to declassify all information relating to it. Other lawmakers familiar with the details say there's no cause for concern.
Just in from Gaza, the Palestinian-run health ministry says Israeli forces are storming the hospital in Khan Yunis. Medics say one patient has been killed, six wounded. Former President Trump is expected to be in a New York City courtroom this morning for a hearing in a hush money case involving those payments to Stormy Daniels ahead of the 2016 election. CBS's Graham Cates.
The judge is expected to rule on several motions, including one put forward by Trump's team seeking to dismiss the case.
There's another hearing today involving Mr. Trump in Georgia to decide whether Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis will be disqualified for alleged misconduct related to a personal relationship with Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade. SpaceX lunar lander is on its way to the moon.
3, 2, 1, ignition and liftoff.
Falcon 9 launched the robotic spacecraft early this morning from Kennedy Space Center. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
That lander's carrying a variety of sensors and instruments that are going to help measure the lunar environment and test technologies that might be useful for downstream missions.
It aims to become the first to land on the moon since Apollo 17 in 1972. Dow futures up 69. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Earl Ingram. It's Black History Month, and I'm honored to welcome special guests to talk about it. On Thursday, February 15th, I'll be joined by Reggie Jackson at 8 a.m. to talk about the important messages he brings to rural communities across our state and the impact history has on us today.
Don't miss the Earl Ingram Show with special guests throughout Black History Month here on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Thursday on Nightlight, we celebrate National Wisconsin Day. Join us in our new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
A little light rain and snow this morning, then gradual clearing. We'll get to a high of 37 by late this morning, and then temperatures are going to drop back into the low 30s here by late afternoon. The wind, northwest 10 to 20, gusting to 30 or 35 here by later today. Tonight, cloudy 24. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy 31. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jam from Racine. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican. She's a Democrat. She's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Just moo it. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
No doubt some of us are going to be moving a little snowy slush today. It kind of depends on where you are. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. So glad you're along with us. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting commute for a lot of folks in the state of Wisconsin. Madison area, the plows have been out. It's a slushy mix right now and continuing. Our forecast for today calls for cloudy skies. The snow and precipitation should end a little bit later this morning, but daytime highs today, not much better than 34 degrees. Tomorrow, morning clouds, afternoon sun, and 28. Saturday, partly cloudy and 31. Sunshine on Sunday and 40 degrees. Then Monday, we're back up to 43. Tuesday, 48. Next Wednesday, 51 degrees. So this precipitation is not going to be sticking around in its current form. That's for sure. We'll get weather details, Stu Muck, in about 15 minutes. Mike North with EverAg is going to be joining us live this morning. Bad day yesterday for dairy markets, actually for all commodities. What's going on there, he'll explain. Farm and industry short course. I bet a lot of you folks listening know short course. You either experienced it yourself, you had kids go through the program. What's happening now that it's pivoted and moved up to UW River Falls? Charity Seebecker's got an update. Next week is National FFA Week, and our Wisconsin Blue and Gold have some priorities that they want to share, give you the details on that, and doing a deeper dive on the 2022 USDA Census of Agriculture. What did we find out about Wisconsin agriculture in all those data points? We've got an update.
Attention farmers and contractors. It's that time of year again. Time to spring clean your sheds and sell your equipment with Steffes Group at the upcoming Wisconsin Area Equipment Auction closing March 27th. Showcase your equipment to the right buyers and maximize your sale potential. Go to steffesgroup.com right now for more information on this and other upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide. That's steffesgroup.com.
There's something special and brand new happening at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke telling you to go to the store for this in-store experience. Corner of Nesbitt Road and Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 5. This is a brand new, locally sourced, procured and developed brat that Bavaria Sausage has exclusively. And let me tell you, it's fantastic. It is a special Berkshire brat. When I say Berkshire, I'm talking about the breed of hog that they used for this brat. And it is fantastic. Right now, you can go in, try it yourself, taste test it, share it with your friends, your family. But remember, limited supplies of this special Berkshire brat. So head in today, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 5. Not available online. Enjoy the old world flavor of this special Berkshire brat at Bavaria Sausage.
About 1,800 organic farmers and people interested in organics are getting together starting February 22nd in La Crosse for the annual Organic Farming Conference. The event is celebrating its 35th anniversary. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Marble Seed, formerly known as Moses, is hosting the conference. Executive Director Lori Stern says the fact that Wisconsin does host the largest organic gathering in the nation is a testament to the state's vibrant industry.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people don't realize that we are actually second in the country for organic farms, second to California, which is a lot bigger than we are. So I think it really does speak to the leadership that we take in the Midwest here and in Wisconsin specifically, particularly in the Driftless region, in leading in organic, which is really exciting. And it's something that I always have to remind myself when I go to other places around the country and I can't help but, you know, go to, oh, there's the farmer's market here or there. And I'm always surprised at how few organic vendors there are. And then, oh, yeah, that's right. It's because I get to live where organic is so prevalent, which is really great.
What are the key themes that this year's organic conference is going to pick up?
Well, I think we really wanted to lean into kind of the then and now, because it's 35 years, and how a lot of the issues then, when the organic label that we all have become so familiar with first became a national standard, that little green and white USDA organic. Back then, in 35 years ago, farmers were really wondering, well, how do I certify? What are the standards? And those interests are still with us today. And we are now kind of facing huge consumer demand for organic. And what does that mean for us as kind of small to medium-sized farms, which continue to be who's in the marble seed community? Are the smaller farmers, the more local farmers? What does that mean in the face of kind of this rising consumer demand and our own success? So this kind of idea that we're, you know, still very deeply connected to those beginning organic farmers, and then looking forward to where is our food and going to come from in the future, and what is our farming system going to look like in the future. So we have the theme this year is Roots to Rhizome. So just kind of that thinking about how deeply connected and important soil is to organic agriculture, and building healthy soils and building those connections and the microbiome of the soil and the connection between farmers and eaters and researchers and all of that. And that happens in the convening in La Crosse.
Remind us of the dates of the meeting, the location, and where people can register.
So we are convening February 22nd through the 24th in La Crosse, Wisconsin, at the La Crosse Convention Center. You can register at our website, marbleseed.org, and just click on events, and it'll take you to registration. We're really excited this year, too. I mean, we started as an organization very much by farmers. And so this idea of farmer self-organizing is absolutely critical to our organization's history and, I think, our future. And so we're going to offer this year a lot of opportunities for farmers to really network and learn from each other, because I think that's the value of the conference. I know that for a lot of folks, like once I keep hearing from farmers, you know, when we were farm dreaming, we needed to get to all those workshops that were more formal. But once we started farming, we just wanted to kind of meet with our friends, have really vibrant hallway conversations, and do that networking and learn from each other. And so we're providing lots of space in the conference this year for that to happen, from our exhibit hall to more structured, facilitated opportunities for farmers to share information with each other. So we're really excited about that, too.
Lori, what else happens at this conference aside from the learning aspect? Is there any business that gets done, any policy coordination that happens?
Absolutely, because our conference is kind of unique in that it's all production methods. And so we have a lot of cross-cutting content that would be useful to any production method, from a dairy farmer to a broadacre farmer to somebody who's doing specialty crops or fruit growing. So we try to have something for everyone there in terms of production, but then also what are those issues around farm viability, farmer wellness, some of the policy things that you mentioned. All of those are also at the conference. In the exhibit hall, we have lots of folks that can, you know, from folks that can give information on office hours around financial issues, organic certification. I mean, farmers can find lots of resources. USDA is typically there. Our State Department of Agriculture is there. So farmers can get that kind of one-on-one information as well through our exhibit hall and our office hours. So there's that available. And then this year is kind of interesting. You know, we went into planning the conference. We were in the midst of a farm bill year, assuming we'd have a farm bill in the fall. So it was really tricky to try and figure out how much policy we were going to need to have. But of course, now that farm bill process has become more of a marathon than a sprint. And we're still very much in the thick of having those conversations about what is in the next farm bill. So folks will be there from National Organic Coalition, the Organic Farmers Association, folks that kind of advocate with and for farmers. And we do some of that work as well. So that's definitely going to be part of the conference.
What's your favorite part about the Organic Farming Conference, Lori? What do you hope to get out of it this year?
First of all, I think just the energy in the building, it's like the building vibrates. And I think we're seeing a lot of what is going to be the next generation of organic farmers. And that is super exciting. You know, everywhere you hear about how farmers across production methods are aging. So we tend to try to figure out, like, how do we get the next generation of farmers on the land? And they're at the conference. We've got those older farmers that are thinking about land transition, thinking about how they're land will be stewarded in the future organically. And then we've got these young farmers full of energy and ready to kind of take this on, super excited about our food system, excited about thinking about how to make our food system more just and fair for farm workers and landowners and eaters and across the span. So I feel like part of it is just being in that building and feeling that energy, because it does. It just feels like it's vibrating sometimes. And then there's always great content and things that you can learn and then have the opportunity to have conversations with those folks that are presenting information.
And again, Marvel Seed is celebrating 35 years of getting together for the Organic Farming Conference. Lori, walk us through some of the highlights of this anniversary year and maybe what's coming down the pipeline that Marvel Seed is especially looking forward to as they hopefully continue for another 35 years.
We have a program that's part of the National Organic Program's Transition to Organic Partnership, and we are one of the workshops on Thursday. It's free to farmers that are interested in transitioning to organic. For folks that are considering organic, this is an amazing time right now in the history of organic to make that transition. There's a lot of support from our organization, from other organizations across the country, and enabling farmers to kind of fund that transition, because we know it's hard. There's funding for mentorship, technical assistance, and all that that we're part of. And then there's also funding for the farmers that are making the transition to support them in doing that. And so it's really exciting. And we do have a workshop on Thursday that's specifically, it's Help Wanted Organic Farmers, and it's specifically for farmers interested in transition.
Can you speak more to the interest from like USDA and the state level to fund some of this transition? Why are we seeing this push?
Part of the reason that we're seeing this push is because there's huge demand for organic from consumers. And right now we have to rely on a lot of import. So if we just think about the National Organic Program actually sits in the Ag Marketing Service, which within USDA. So, you know, they're recognizing, when we think about like integrity in organics and some of the fraud and the grain coming in, there's interest in being able to produce more domestically. So I'm just going to say that there's definitely a market, and there's a rising market for organic in not just grains, but in all things. And we are really importing a lot of it. So it would be great to get more domestic production. I know that there's a lot of concern and I see articles all the time about herbicide resistance. A lot of the chemicals that farmers are utilizing that are non-organic are no longer working. And so needing to work with the environment is becoming increasingly important, particularly as climate is changing, to be able to adapt. And organic farmers are just incredibly good at that. And then for all of those reasons, then we also have investment on the other side, which everybody knows it's like you need to, it's a 3-year plan. It's a different way of farming. There's a lot to learn. There's conservation funding available for farmers who are making that transition. So there's new organic management standards through conservation that farmers can access for that time in transition. And that's the other way that they're supporting organic farmers. So not only with education and mentorship on one side, but then also those that are transitioning are going to be able to access conservation programs that will support them in making that 3-year transition.
Lori Stern speaking to some of the new elements in this year's Organic Farming Conference. Lori is the executive director of Marble Seed, which is hosting the event in La Crosse. It's happening February 22nd through the 24th. They're celebrating their 35th year. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News talk and sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
It's Black History Month, and civic media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination. But there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine, Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
276, because we're not getting real good weather reports yet from our weather folks at the National Weather Service. Linda from Reeseville tells me that she's got about an inch and a half of snow on the ground with rain snow mix coming down, Stu. That sounds like about what everybody's got. What else do you have to add to the mix?
Yeah, that's about it. I've got a good healthy inch, maybe some would call it two, here south of Fond du Lac. I just got Iola in Waupaca County reporting 1.1 inches. Mm-hmm. Plymouth saying probably 2 inches, real wet, sloppy. The roads are a mess.
Yep.
And that's kind of what's coming in from everywhere. Well, just not nice.
La Crosse, if you're out there, come on and tell us if you got anything. Stan from up by Green Bay said they had about an inch. And it should dissipate pretty quick by about daybreak, huh?
Yeah, it's not going to stick around long. I mean, the winter weather advisory is still in effect at least until 6 a.m. in Iowa, Dane, and Sauk counties, till 8 a.m. Jefferson, Dodge, that extends north up into Marquette, Green Lake, Washera, Waupaca, Shawnee, not on the southern edge of the state. I mean, Green Rock, Walworth, you're out of that winter weather advisory, but there's that mix of rain and snow kind of sloppy around today. Low pressure's heading toward northeast Illinois, so it's all going to end. It will dry out somewhat, but expect a little more windiness the next day or so. Going to seem a little wintry. I'll have forecast details right after
this. Picture this. You, in a company vehicle, traveling across the picturesque landscapes of southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois. Your mission? To provide top-notch service and installations of milking equipment. Tri-County Dairy Supply is on the lookout for dynamic service technicians to join their teams in Janesville and Watertown. If you've got experience in farming, electrical work, plumbing, welding, refrigeration, or maintenance, send your resumes to Tri-County Dairy at tds.net or apply in person in Janesville. Must have a valid driver's license. Don't miss this opportunity.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier, Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Yonke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel video, or call 888-557-1020 today. Alrighty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, that winter weather advisory in the east, ending in the south about 6 this morning, ending in the east by 8 this morning. So the precipitation is going to start to taper off and end, of course, still falling all the way from northeast into south central Wisconsin. Basically some snow, a little rain in the far southeast, but that will end. Clouds may even clear a little in the west. Temps aren't all that exciting. Low 30s today, and northwest winds 10 to 20. Will even gust near 30, a little stronger in far eastern Wisconsin. Overnight, those clouds redevelop, but we drop to the lower 20s. Northwest winds 5 to 10. Partly sunny Friday, a cool day. Man, this sounds like February. Upper 20s, maybe a 30. That's about the best we can hope for. The northwest wind at 5 to 15. Even Saturday, mostly sunny, breezy, only around 30 or very low 30s in the west. West winds 10 to 20. They'll gust near 30. Gets a little breezy for a day or so, Pam, with that cool air to wrap up the week.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden we're back in the 40s front part of next week.
Yeah, it turns up that quick. Yeah, well.
I know.
Enjoy the winter while it's here this weekend.
Just be careful. All of a sudden, you got to remind yourself it's slippery, not only on the roads, but on the sidewalks, too. So take her easy out there.
Yeah, it's a wet, sloppy stuff. Be careful.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your weather update. And don't forget, you're definitely valuable to us, you folks that can use the talk text line. What do you got in your backyard? 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go.
This
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free, 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Todd Alma Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alma Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Mayer.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Mayer on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
CBS News Brief. Police in Kansas City say they've detained three people in connection with yesterday's deadly shooting at the Chiefs Super Bowl victory parade.
I was just telling everybody to get down, and then like get out the way, and the officers were coming around, and that's what they did.
A local radio DJ was killed, more than 20 people wounded, including 9 children. Some of the injuries, life-threatening. CBS News has learned officials have briefed Congress on new intelligence that Russia plans to put a nuclear-capable weapon in space may be able to knock out American satellites. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe.
A senior U.S. official stressed to CBS News that it, quote, is significant, but it's not imminent.
Former President Trump is expected at court in New York today for a hearing in a criminal case involving payments to Stormy Daniels. CBS's Graham Cates.
The judge is also expected to set in stone when the trial is expected to begin.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new set of district boundaries for the state legislature waits for Governor Evers' signature. Republican lawmakers passed Evers' maps Tuesday. Democrats like Senator Jeff Smith say Republicans only did it to beat the Wisconsin Supreme Court to the job.
Throwing the will of the people out the door and going right back to the old ways of the legislature protecting themselves, the majority protecting themselves.
The High Court says Wisconsin's current maps are unconstitutional. First Lady Jill Biden is coming to Wisconsin on Friday. She'll be in Green Bay talking about career-oriented learning in high school and college. Jill Biden is a teacher herself at Northern Virginia Community College. The event is not open to the public. President Joe Biden was in Wisconsin in both December and January as the state is seen as pivotal in the upcoming presidential election. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks lose to the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing at home last night to the team that eliminated them from the playoffs last year, the Miami Heat. The final 123-97. That's the third time this season the Bucks have lost by 20 points or more. That's happened twice since Doc Rivers took over as head coach. After the game, Rivers telling reporters he thought the Bucks offensively were awful. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles with a win on the road at Butler, 78-72. That's the eighth win in a row for the Golden Eagles. Marquette is ranked fourth in the nation. And in Madison, Wisconsin snapping a four-game losing streak by beating Ohio State at the Kohl Center. The final, the Badgers 62-54 over the Buckeyes. Badgers head coach Greg Gard said his players had gone over that very situation in practice this week.
We did a little simulated game yesterday in practice and had almost the same scenario where it was about an 8-point game with X number of minutes to go. And, you know, I thought they hit some tough shots too.
That's the Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A little light rain and snow this morning, then gradual clearing. We'll get to a high of 37 by late this morning, and then temperatures are going to drop back into the low 30s here by late afternoon. The wind, northwest 10 to 20, gusting to 30 or 35 here by later today. Tonight, cloudy 24. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy 31. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination, but there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History Story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on AM 1400, 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers.
They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Kevin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
On Bakhtiari.
Tilling every inch of land in the state, except Lambeau Field. That there's consecrated ground. Pam Yonke and the Farm Report.
Honestly, it is hard to believe that I've had conversations with farmers and landowners across the state that have been doing some tillage work in the winter. When have we been able to say that in Wisconsin? But this year, without much of a frost or any freeze at all, the ground is still pretty pliable. Hopefully that's going to be good news with the moisture that's sitting on top of it this morning. I'm PM Yankee. Come on in, everybody. So glad you're along with us. Yeah, so depending on where you are this morning, anywhere from just a trace amount of moisture in the form of either rain or snow, or some folks may be getting north of 4 inches of accumulation. But it's all going to be gone probably by the end of the weekend. Today's daytime highs around 34, tomorrow 28, Saturday 31, Sunday 40 degrees, then Monday again well above average. Monday's highs 43, Tuesday 48 degrees, next week Wednesday 51. So today is the 15th day of February. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1965, Canada adopted its current national flag. That's the maple leaf. The leaf is designed to symbolize the country's forests. The middle white stripe is the Arctic snow, and the red stripes, the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. Now you know a little bit more about the maple leaf of Canada, their national flag, adopted on this day back in 1965. On this day in 1950, Walt Disney's animated film Cinderella premiered in Boston, another staple for the Disney folks. And I almost hate to bring this one up. On this day back in 1964, actor-comedian Chris Farley was born. He, of course, joined Second City Theater and then ultimately ended up on Saturday Night Live. He was born on this day back in 1964. Of course, Chris Farley, a Madison native. And now you know. Well, we are continuing to keep an eye on developments with the Farm and Industry Short Course here in the state of Wisconsin. That program goes back decades and has impacted an awful lot of families across the state of Wisconsin. Maybe you were a member of the Farm and Industry Short Course. Short course for short, as far as title. Maybe your family members have gone. Maybe you've got a child that's involved with FISC right now. It's struggled to find enrollment over the past couple of years. But thanks to efforts like Representative Tony Kurtz, Farm and Industry Short Course is now at home at UW River Falls. Charity Seebecker has an update from him.
That's right, Pam. He has worked with Wisconsin Farm Bureau members to help get it back up and running. He explains just why the FISC program is so important to him and others throughout the state.
I think it's something that's much needed. The ag community is saying we want it, we need it, and I think it's something as a state we should need to do for our ag community.
What role do you see the reestablished program playing in really preparing that next generation of farmers and our industry professionals to keep meeting our changing and evolving places in agriculture?
I think when you go back and you look at the number of very successful farmers that started their career in that short course, I think not to have a resident short course would be detrimental to the ag industry, to be very honest, because so many people got their start at that course. Plus, it gives you the tools in an ever-changing environment. And that's why I think, like I said, I have nothing against online learning. Some people don't do well in that environment. You know, you're sitting with others, you're sitting with your peers, you're sitting with people like-minded. I think the value of a resident short course is something that we would shortchange future generations if we did not offer that And, you know, let's be very honest. You know, you have a lot of decline in enrollment. You know, unfortunately, obviously, we know we've talked about some two-year campuses closing because of enrollment. You know, we, in my humble opinion, need to fund this for our agricultural community. And I think having a resident program is so important to continue that legacy.
How does this legislative initiative really address any potential financial or resource challenges that are associated with reestablishing the farm industry short course program?
Well, it's just, you know, let's be honest, there is a cost, you know, and once again, I know some of my colleagues may say, you know, the UW can absorb that, but, you know, it isn't at a cost for River Falls. So I think as a state, I think we do have an obligation to say, okay, we're going to help you get that course. We're going to help you get it up and running. We're going to help you, provide those students what they need in that agricultural space. And I think as a state, obviously in our ag community, the second biggest industry in the state, I think in the big scheme of things, it's a very small investment that we can make.
Have you had any success stories or feedback that you've received that you can share from people who have went through the FISC program and why this is so important to them?
So I've had quite a few farmers. You know, it's interesting. I had Horkin, a young lady by the name of Mrs. Horkin. Her son wanted to go to the Madison Short Course. And then when she found out it was, you know, she called me and she was devastated. So my son was going there. And then I said, you know, just give us time. I said, there's other opportunities. And so I think people, especially those that have attended that course or had family members attend that course, they know the value of that, you know, in-resident short course and what that can provide for the students moving forward for Wisconsin agriculture.
Why should students enroll in the program? Really, why is it so important for our future of the industry?
One, you're going to learn from the best. But also the camaraderie. I mean, unfortunately, the ag community is getting smaller, you know, and I think that's where that short course helps young farmers to build those relationships with somebody from the eastern side of the state or the southern part or, you know, somebody that grows pigs or somebody that grows chicken or an organic farmer. It helps with that collaboration to realize, you know, I have one segment of agriculture in Wisconsin, but it's so much bigger. I'm part of that, and I'm proud to be part of that, and I think that's where that brings that camaraderie in that short course.
That was Representative Tony Kurtz. He added that if this program is important to you, you should reach out to your elected representatives and let them know the impact that it had on you and encourage them to be committed to supporting it and the future of the agriculture industry. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Thanks, Charity. And remember, your voice really counts now when it comes to conversations with your state representatives and senators. They're trying to wrap up business before the session ends. So something like the Farm and Industry Short Course, something you might want to chime in on. The Blue and Gold will be down at the state capitol on Monday. Next week is National FFA Week. And on Monday, it's going to be FFA Day at the Hill. More than 200 Wisconsin FFA members, along with their advisors, are going to be coming from across the state to visit the state capitol. They'll be chatting with State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley, as well as Department of Workforce Development Secretary Amy Pacek. They'll see Randy Romansky, our Ag Secretary, and also FFA Foundation Board President Deb Eim. All of that happening Monday down at the state capitol as we kick off celebrating the National FFA Week. Mike North from EverAg coming up in just a moment. Let's take a look at what's going on in the markets. I don't like any of it. I didn't like it yesterday, and it's not improved overnight. In Chicago, we saw barrel cheese yesterday drop 2.5 cents to 157.5. 40-pound block cheese was down 7 at 151.5. Double A butter, that gained 0.5 cent to 271.75 per pound. Now, on a Thursday morning, right now, I see December corn down a penny at 463. November soybeans are down 3.5 in Chicago at 1151. July wheat's down a penny at 583. The March Class 3 milk is down 9 at 1693. The April milk is down 9 at 1721 a hundredweight. You know, it's just those kinds of numbers that have a lot of folks in Wisconsin concerned about not just the future of the dairy industry, but the future of Wisconsin agriculture in general. We're looking at a pretty lean year in 2024. As far as profits, if we can find any at all. Jason Mungnaini is the Executive Director of Government Relations with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. He did a deep dive on the 2022 USDA Census of Agriculture that was released this week and drilled in, really, on some fine points about Wisconsin agriculture. And he says it's kind of a mixed bag. Some good trends, some not so good trends.
In terms of Wisconsin numbers, we saw some bright signs that a lot of new and beginning farmers are starting to outpace what we had. We saw some growth there. We saw an increase over our 2012 numbers in the number of female farmers and decision makers on the farm. So we've seen some high points, but the same data is kind of reflected from the national level in Wisconsin. We lost 6,300 farms in the last 5 years. We've lost almost 500,000 acres of farmland. Now, we're still in a top 10 ag-producing state, but we slipped into the 10th spot.
Jason Mungnaini, he is the Executive Director of Government Relations with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Remember, all that information, all those data points created in that 2022 Census of Agriculture going to be critical information points and foundation moving forward for things like the Farm Bill in development in Washington, D.C. How are our markets developing this morning? I'm almost afraid to ask, but we will. Up next, Mike North, broker analyst with EverAg. We're going to focus in on all things dairy when he joins us next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
I'm Earl Ingram. It's Black History Month, and I'm honored to welcome special guests to talk about it. On Thursday, February 15th, I'll be joined by Reggie Jackson at 8 a.m. to talk about the important messages he brings to rural communities across our state and the impact history has on us today.
Don't miss the Earl Ingram Show with special guests throughout Black History Month here on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
You look at Taylor Swift, she fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allbaugh. Thursday on the show, we have Doug Moe, author and columnist, on a brand new project on the Civic Media radio network.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
To talk a little bit about trends we've been noticing. Holy peapod, Mike. Another 7 cent drop yesterday as far as cheese prices are concerned. What is going on or maybe not going on out there?
Well, we continue this undulation in price that we started since basically Christmas. Markets go up for a few days, down for a few days, up for a few days, down for a few days. We're in the down cycle right now and have been since about the 1st of February, about 15 cents off of its peak at the start of the month. But the thing to keep in mind is that as we move lower, we attract attention in the world market with buyers who are seeking deals. And the reality for us is, as the U.S., we are the lowest price point in the world on that particular product. That's not true of any other product. On any other product, we are kind of right in the hunt, and on cheese alone, we are a bargain. So every time we get here, we get to move some spot loads out of country And that is good for us. We need to get this time of the year, especially, we need to get inventory moving, and offshore is usually best because we're not big cheese consumers on the whole this time of the year in the United States. So, you know, it hurts in the short term, but there's actually some longer term positivity to this if we can keep moving some of this product.
Well, I'm curious about inventory then, because that would seem to be an upside. Again, Mike North from EverEgg along with us. Always want to remind you, if you want to follow up with these folks, go to their website, ever.egg. So again, like I said, my follow-up there, Mike, is, you know, the world as a whole does not seem to have much strength, be it currency, be it jobs, be it economics, to go very deep on those buys.
Well, and that's part of what's driving this, right? If you go back over the last year specifically, you know, our trading partner in Korea wasn't that strong. Our trading partner in Japan wasn't that strong. Southeast Asia really as a whole was a very weak part of our export picture. Thankfully, we had a really strong trading partner in Mexico to make up some of the difference, but not all, which is why the exports right now are so key, because we need to fill some voids that we struggled to essentially send product into over the course of the 2023 calendar. So you're right. That has certainly been weighing on this market, and China's absence has been very, very highly documented on the dairy side. Very, very low imports of powders, very low imports of other products that we depend on. And so that being said, the hole they've created is something that, you know, a lot of other countries collectively are going to have to try to make up for. And so anything we can move right now is great. And, you know, truth be told, we have a lot of expansion around the country on the product side as well. And about a third of that is cheese. So, you know, we're at a weak price point. We're needing to move cheese. And in, you know, this same breath, we're already preparing greater production levels as we go forward. So it's a good news story for milk and having a home for it, but it needs a market to sell into as well. So all of that stuff has to come together.
Mike North with EverEgg along with us. Tell me a little bit on what you're seeing then as far as cheese inventory. You make me nervous.
Well, if you go back and look at some of the cold storage numbers, you know, basically we have been able to kind of keep things on the level over the course of the last several months. We haven't had explosive growth on our inventory numbers, but they're not getting any smaller. And, you know, as we came through the fourth quarter, you know, one of the things we kind of count on is that, you know, cheese inventories are going to drop, and we just didn't see much of that. It kind of held the line. And so, you know, as we look at it, you know, they're on a growth curve. Now, keep in mind, our country continues to demand more and more cheese that requires more and more time in storage. So some of this growth is aging programs at work and cheese just being carried longer to, you know, hit a different flavor profile. But ultimately, where we see it, you know, is in some of these American varieties, and that ultimately sends a signal that, you know, we're not keeping up on the fresh side either. So that's a problem for us. And, you know, as I've highlighted, not one that's gotten completely out of hand, but, you know, reality is if we don't keep product moving, it could be. Especially as we come into the spring flush and there's more milk hitting the cheese vat and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, yeah. Mike North again from EverEgg down in Platteville. So I'm going to put a little spin on this, Mike, and I don't want to catch you off guard, but do we ever hear anything about new products, foods, beverages, something that can help us, you know, hit a sweet spot maybe?
You know, absolutely. And I think probably the champion of that particular question in the last few years has been the Fairlife milk label. And, you know, really, as you look at what has gone on there, they've, you know, created a shelf-stable product, high protein. We are starting to see a movement towards a couple of different drugs in the consumer market that help people maintain or lose weight and, you know, other things. It has a whole, you know, series of different brand labels to that particular drug. But ultimately, what it causes is a greater interest in high protein foods. And I think, you know, as you observe the behavior of food companies, as you look at, you know, what's going on, there's a lot of people that are looking to elevate protein levels and to even offer new products. And I think you're going to start seeing some of that come forward. And what it may not be is a brand new idea. What it could be is an old idea with higher levels of protein or higher levels of, you know, other ingredients.
Got to let you go, Mike. Want to keep that train going, but I got to let you go. All out of time. Mike North, along with us from EverAg in Platteville, their website, ever.ag.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
An ag policy expert defends the safety net aspect of the federal farm bill today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to Right Spot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Since the last farm bill expired, we've been operating under a temporary extension until a new program is approved. While the extension runs through September, Texas A&M University Extension economist Joe Outlaw admits,
I don't expect it to be done in 24 unless something wild happens after the election. And even then, if House or Senate flips, it's going to be enough change that I don't think it will happen early in 25 either.
Outlaw responds to the critics of the safety net portion of the farm bill.
I've told people for most of my career that I think the farm bill is for the consumer. Now, you have to be on your game to kind of follow the logic of that because, you know, if we keep the farmers around, if we're able to provide a safety net that allows them to try again next year, then that keeps food prices from jumping all around and it gives us stability.
Outlaw says the farm program helps level the playing field.
Most of the textbooks are written that we'd be way better off without any kind of government intervention. And I would be fine with that if the rest of the world would start first. But why is it up to the American farmer to bear the brunt of, we're going to do away with all of our stuff, and we hope other people do as well, which has never happened.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is Don Rosen. You know, it's great to be welcomed back to WRJN to super serve the folks in the Racine and surrounding areas every morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio refreshed.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
I'm Trigvi Olson. Steven from Green Bay, go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.